Welcome to Happy Wife, Happy Life.
We're your hosts. I'm Kendall Landreth.
And I'm Jordan Myrick.
We are two incredibly unqualified,
but deeply in love comedians
who are here to help you navigate all things relationships. And we are so excited.
Yeah, because today we have a very special guest.
Tell us who it is, Jordan.
Oh, okay, Kendall. Today we are talking sex toys with Dame, CEO, and founder Al Fine.
Hello, Al.
Hello.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'm so excited. It's so good to meet you. And I have so many questions, so I'm deeply excited. This podcast episode is more just me getting to answer all the questions that I've ever wanted to ask about sex toys.
Kendall trying to sort some stuff out.
Yes.
Well,
I have to know, how did you get into this field?
So I wanted to be a sex therapist for a long time. Oh. I have my master's in clinical psychology from Columbia University. Before that, I'd worked at Planned Parenthood and did a lot of sex education work. So I've always been like just deep, I mean, real horny and deeply passionate about sexual pleasure, particularly for those of us who have vulvas. We're way less likely to have sexual pleasure.
Yeah.
Especially those of us with vulvas who predominantly have sex with penises.
Right.
We don't have sex with the people. Well, you, I mean,
hey, listen, you can do anything.
You can do it. You can do whatever you want.
Sometimes you're having sex with a person, and sometimes you are just having sex with a penis.
100%.
Yes. But heterosexual women have way less orgasms and sexual pleasure than their male counterparts.
Yeah.
There is no real reason why that needs to be. I just felt like this category in this conversation, besides it being just so much fun to talk about, it's also a really important part of our overall health and well-being.
Sure.
And in the world of psychology, it's so apparent that those things are connected. And I thought it was interesting that in the world of consumer goods that they weren't connected. So I wanted to create products that were good for you, quality, innovative, treated like any other consumer electronic.
Yeah.
And now we do so much more than just toys, too, and we're going to continue to expand.
That's so exciting. Are you able to tell us what you're going to expand into or hint at it? Or
we just launched STI kits.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
You can do at-home STI testing.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
It's truly so exciting because I feel like it is a recent occurrence. And maybe it's just because I'm now an adult and as a kid, nobody was like, you should get a sex toy. But I feel like it is more, it's becoming more a common thing where it's just like, yep, we all own sex toys. It's really not that crazy. We all have them for personal pleasure or with your partner. We all have them. It's fine. It's normal. It's good.
They're kind of boring.
I know. We got to make them more interesting.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
like, it's crazier not stuff.
Yeah. But it just isn't that wild to have a sex toy.
No.
Yeah. Over 50% of women in the U.S. have vibrators.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, when I first started, like in 1998 is when Sex and the City had this infamous, famous vibrator episode. And I think that, you know, at the time it was like only on HBO. And now you have, then you had primetime television that's talking about it. And now I think it's like just a part of so many mainstream narratives. So it's really cool to see it.
I mean, you can buy a vibrator at Target.
You can buy our vibrator at Target.
There we go. Yeah, I see it. I saw it the other day because the way we knew about you is that I had bought your products before because I'm cool and sex positive. And I had bought your stuff and I was like, oh, it's so like the aesthetic is so nice. Mm. It feels very, I don't know. I feel like I remember my first vibrator. I went with some girls that I knew and I was maybe in 8th or 9th grade and they all went into Hustler, which is a store that's in, I think it's a chain, but there was like a big one in South Florida. So a couple of them went into the Hustler store and then like came back out and they gave us all vibrators. We were like, oh my gosh. And then we all like had them. And I remember I was so scared for my mom to find it. I would take it with me to school sometimes.
Oh my God.
Because I would be like, if I leave it at home, my mom will maybe, my mom didn't clean my room. I was responsible for that, but I would get so in my head.
What if she decides
one day? What if the one day she decides to clean my room, she finds this? So I would sometimes bring it to school with me.
That is so funny. I didn't even know vibrators existed at that age, I don't think. And it's so weird because I'll hear it like straight men will be like, well, you know, women just have, they don't really get into sex stuff at that age. And I'm like, no, you don't understand how sad it is as a teenager where you're like, I don't know what these feelings are inside me because no one's explained them. So every day at 6 p.m. I just rub against the couch in my downstairs living room. And that is like so, and you don't even know what it is. And you're like, I don't know why I need to do this, but it's just animalistic and it feels wild. So I think it's so exciting now that it's like, not just for men.
When did you first masturbate? Do you remember?
I read Actually, I do. It's really weird, too, because when you're a kid, you, like, don't know what it is, mm-hmm. especially as a girl. You're, like, not taught about it. So I think it's one of those things that you don't know. Basically, I was reading the book Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this book? No. There's a scene, it, like, came out in, it was, like, a British movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very fun and cute. But it was also a book. So I read the book.
And it was for children.
No, it was not. But I read it. I had, like, older siblings, and they read it, and I wanted to read it, and I read it. And it wasn't, if I remember correctly, I haven't read it since I was, like, in the fourth grade, but it's not really inappropriate. There's just, like, one really, like, a makeout scene. And I remember being like, what is this feeling? It was like silent reading. I remember being under my desk at school. Like I was like, I am so horny, but I like didn't know what it was.
Sure.
And then I do think there was a day while I was still reading that book that I was like on my couch and I kind of just started rubbing up against my couch and was like, what's going on here? And then I was like, it really is like that Pen 15 episode where she becomes like addicted to masturbating because mm-hmm. she's like, what is this?
Yeah.
And it was like any time. I was like, I'm going to finish my dinner early, guys. I'm going to go downstairs to the couch. And
American couches are really taking one for the team. They're doing more than we ever could have imagined they would do.
100%. But you don't know what it is. You're like, I still don't know what I'm doing or why.
Stuffed
and it wasn't
animals.
Until years later.
Yes.
Years later, someone said the word masturbating and I was like, that's what I was doing.
I didn't know I was masturbating, but at a really young age, I knew that it was sexual. And I think you must have, too. Yeah. You were reading the content.
Well, I knew it was something I shouldn't be sharing with my family.
Isn't that wild, too? Like, how quickly you have
this.
You know it's shameful. Yeah. You know it's wrong or, you know, bad.
I knew what it was really early because my neighbor was like, you ever masturbated? Sorry, let me clear this up. My neighbor who was a child. Not... As I said that, I saw your eyes. No, my neighbor who was a child, but she was like 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
And she was like, you ever masturbated? And I was like, no. And she was like, go home and do this. And I was like, okay. And I
she's spreading
like,
the good word.
Yeah. Well, I was like, she's a genius because she's 2 years older than me.
She is.
So
yeah.
I was like, she has all the answers to everything that has ever happened in the history of the world. So then I went home and I was like, okay. And then I reported back. I said,
what'd you say?
I did it.
It was awesome.
And it was cool.
And you're into it.
And then I said we had both done it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
That is so, yeah. That's
I want to know how y'all got sex toys into Target, America's sweetheart.
Target's actually been selling sex toys for like, I think over a decade.
Target?
Yeah, we were one of the first brands to launch in Sephora. So that was really cool. That they had never had the category. We were in Goop. Where else did we launch? Revolve. We opened up the category for them. So there were definitely a lot of places where they didn't have it, and now they do. And, you know, these products really help people have enjoyable sex lives.
Yeah. Well, because once you know what it's like to be... like to have like an orgasm.
Mm.
You like can't go back. Cause like I feel like my first, like you have to kind of, maybe learn is the wrong word. And I'm not very educated on this, but kind of have to learn how to have an orgasm a little bit. So I mean, for me at least, it was like that. It was like my first couple relationships, I like thought I was doing it. And I remember the first time it happened, I was like, oh my God, that is very different. But it was like, well, you have to, but I didn't have my first vibrator until I was way late in the game. I mean, I had been having like sex for years and then I finally got my first vibrator. But I feel like I have a lot of straight friends who I talk to and they're like, well, I've never had an orgasm, but like sex is still really enjoyable. And I'm like, but I don't know if you've had, I'm sure there's enjoyable parts of it, but if you haven't had it, you wouldn't know how good it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is really important in sex to just be able to enjoy the full experience find pleasure in the sensation. If you get really focused on just having an orgasm, it becomes really hard to have an orgasm.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, I don't know if, like anything, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm like, I'm going to be the best at piano, but I don't really like playing the piano and I'm not practicing playing the piano. And when I do practice playing the piano, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, how are you going to be the best at playing piano, right?
Yeah. Well, in your case, you play your piano. You also play other pianos that are also pianos.
And I'm a Mozart.
Yeah.
I've heard. That's what people have told me. So, yeah.
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 It's true.
So, say something.
Agreed.
I agree. You're great. That's a great work.
You too.
So what is the process of like creating a sex toy? Like, what is from beginning to end? Like, how does this work?
How many things did you have to sit on before you found the right
So I had a few different ideas. Our first product is called Eva. It's a hands-free vibrator that you can wear while you're having penetrative sex. So it's got these like bendy arms, like tucks in to the labia and pushes the labia apart a little bit, and then it vibrates on top of the clitoris. And like that concept, I had a few other, but I knew that that was really unique and I wanted to start just seeing if I could make it. So, I mean, like the very first thing I did was I just took a $0.50 coin. I just wanted to see what my labia could hold. So I took like a $0.50 coin, I wrapped it in some cellophane and I put it in between my labia and it stayed in place. It like the product ended up being quite different from that and like how it really works. But I like validated that there was something here. I actually probably could get a motor to stay in this part of the anatomy on its own.
Thank God that worked, or it would have been like, okay, well, I've tried six things I've stuck up there, and they're all stuck, so we're going to have to keep trying.
Yeah. And then I started taking apart vibrators and using, like, arts and crafts plastic to create the shape I wanted. And then I tried one out with my partner, and it worked. And I remember, like, you guys know about, like, how sex magic works? Like, the concept of sex magic?
I've never heard of sex magic.
Oh, well, sex magic... is like using sex as a vehicle for magic. And one of
literal
the things.
Literal magic.
Yeah, we're always doing magic all the time. Oh, okay. Life is magic, right?
Oh, I love
it. I'm listening.
Yeah. And so the idea is like if you tie your orgasm to like manifestation of something that you want, like it'll come, you know? Yeah, anyway, I didn't really know about sex magic, but I remember having that orgasm being like, I'm going to be rich. And like, I remember that. Like, it was like,
that's what you want people to say after you make them orgasm.
Yes. I was like, I'm going to be rich. I mean, that's still, you know, we're working on it, but it was kind of how we got started. And then I met my co-founder who went to MIT, and she took, like, I had learned how to 3D print, I was starting to solder and figure out how to make it. But she really had strong manufacturing experience and designing for manufacturing. So she was able to take the product and help us get it mass produced. We launched it on Indiegogo. We raised $575,000 in 45 days. And now it's been almost 10 years.
Oh, and how did you pick the name Dame?
Oh my God, we had so many names.
What's the worst name that was so close? What's the worst name that like almost made it?
I don't know. That almost made it? I feel like Ella.
Oh, okay.
Because like the first product was Eva. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy we did it. We like a lot of the names were like very vowel-y.
Sure.
Voila. Like, voila. And something like that. And like Dame came out of a list of like things for women, like names, like words that mean women. And Dame was really like heavy.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
And at first we were like, oh, that's like not what we're doing. And then we kind of came back and we're like, no, like that's a really powerful.
Yeah.
Like the consonants are really full. Well, I think that's kind of how we got there.
It's really cool name because I think even with like the names that are really like gentle and beautiful, I think there is this kind of like, well, women have, you hear when I was growing up, it's like, well, men have sex to have sex and women have sex to make love. And it's like, well, no, some women also.
Was a mechanic at a gas station telling you that? Yeah, I was trying to fill up my tank in my car. And I was like, oh, here he is. Johnny's talking to me again. No, it just like, I feel like that's a common thing where it's like, well, or people tell their sons. This is like when I'm watching Young Sheldon. I don't know. I like see this on Middle America TV.
Where they'll be,
well, they'll be like, you got to be careful with girls because when you have sex with them, that really means a lot to them. And I'm like, oh, it depends on the person. But also, you know, women also want to have sex just to have sex in a very normal, fun way where it's just for the feelings of for them,
the
not
sensation
to fall in love with you or whatever. So I like that it's just like Dame.
Yeah. And I think Dame also, like, you know, there's a very highbrow knighted woman Dame.
Yeah.
And then there's very like lowbrow dames, you know?
Yeah.
And
so
like
it's
that's
for everybody.
Cool. It's for everybody.
I love that. I'm really stuck on sex magic. I'm like, I'm gonna start thinking about boats more while we're having sex.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a boat.
She wants a boat.
Oh. Like I'm gonna think about boats more.
I would love to own a boat. I always say that anytime we go by a body of water, I'm
they're
like, get
very
me on a boat.
Expensive.
I know. So that's why we're gonna have to start screaming, I'm gonna own a boat.
At
our dual climax.
Yeah. I'm gonna own a boat.
There's more to it, and I don't know all about it, but I think like you're supposed to bring it up like through your chakra. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not a sex magic expert.
That's okay.
We're going to be looking up some stuff tonight. Because it makes sense. You're like at your highest moment of emotion, feeling, screaming what you want.
I think that connecting, like I think pleasure has this really powerful way of just like creating new neural pathways in our brain. So if we can connect that pleasurable experience to like where we're trying to move in the world, I think that opens up.
Yeah, and I want to know, like, I obviously there's so much shame around sex, like, and everyone I feel like goes through that. Even if you have super sex positive parents, there's just shame around sex. Did you ever have? Was there a transition for you? Because I assume now you're very comfortable talking about sex because you own a company that's all about it. But was there ever a transition where you're like, oh, I'm going to have to be in these meetings? Or like when people ask me what I do at like my parents' Christmas party, I have to be like, I make sex toys. Like, was there ever a transition for you where you're like, I need to get more comfortable with this?
And I was always really comfortable with it.
That's great.
I love
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, my, you know, it, because I wanted to be a sex therapist before. Right. And so I've been doing sex education, sex-related work for quite some time versus my co-founder who went to MIT for mechanical engineering. Mm. She felt like she had to like come out as sex positive to her family. Like they had no idea.
Yeah.
While like my family one time, like my brother, I have two younger brothers and like they asked what a period was one day at dinner and I... You know, my dad had to like leave the table during my answer. You know,
I You're like, here's a chart here's I a have chart. On me at all times.
Let me explain it. Yeah, they got the whole rundown.
That's so. Were your parents very sex positive? Like, did they give you the birds and the bees talk early?
Nope.
Wow. So you had to do a lot of self-education.
A lot of self-education. I grew up with a computer in my room.
Ooh. You had cool parents. The ultimate privilege.
Yeah, it was really. And I think I'm older than you guys. So it was like really wild to have a like a computer.
Yeah, like took up your entire room. It was like a full monitor.
Yeah, like a Toshiba computer. And like, you know, you're talking about being worried about your parents, like, I downloaded porn. Like, I had to go on, like, LimeWire and download porn, and my mom found my porn.
Yeah. Did she get upset?
She was like, well, you know, you download the porn, you don't really know what you're going to get
Absolutely.
Before you
that
open
point
it.
In time?
Yeah, and then you open it, and sometimes, like, I, you know, and I don't think she understood that, because, like, there was, like, a lot of different porn. She was like, you know, she's like, some of the stuff I saw, I was like, Mom, I don't know about it. I was like,
she's like, some stuff tracks, some things we need to have a conversation about.
Yeah. Like, there was, like, a foot, I remember, like, a Jenna Jameson foot fetish thing. Oh. It did help me really expand my sexual preferences because I was like, well, I downloaded this, so I guess I'm into feet now. Yeah. Like,
she's like plumber behind a gas station. Yeah. What's going on here?
My kids being into feet is all I could ever hope for, right? There are so many specific sexual fetishes that you can have that I think would be hard to find a partner for, or maybe like some of them are even like very expensive, very niche. Mm. I'm like, feet are there's a lot of feet in the world. I think a lot of people are open to dabbling in feet.
Yeah.
I'm like, all I could wish for the future children of the world is that they'll be into feet.
Nothing can prepare you for being a parent, I truly think, because I am like, I am so sex positive. I feel like I would talk to my kids about sex. We'd have those conversations. But you've given birth and like breastfed this child and taught it to walk and talk. And then you go to their computer and it's like dick sucking with daddy. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, what do I say? Like, it just must be, even no matter how sex positive you are, you're like, oh my God.
Well, because I think it's also just like acknowledging that your kids are getting older, which I think is so hard. Probably, and I don't know. I have no clue. I don't have a kid, but I'm watching my dog get older every day, and that's really tugging on my heartstrings. Yeah. So I think it's hard.
I have two kids.
Yeah. How and what level of sex are we talking to them about?
They're.
They're door-to-door selling these products.
But right now we're like, do you have a vagina or a penis?
Yeah. My mom did such a good job. I feel like she brought a whiteboard down to my room one day and was just like, we're going to have the sex talk. And I think she kind of had a 5-minute speech prepared. And then I asked probably 400 questions. Mm. I was like, okay, so like a penis, like what are we talking? Like draw it more detailed. Like what's going on here? And she was like, you were obsessed with it. But I'm like, yeah, if you don't put any shame around it, it's fascinating.
Sure.
Where you're like, I was this egg and then this sperm and that. Like it is so, I remember I watched, I think it's Look Who's Talking Now.
Sure.
When the beginning scene is like a sperm going into an egg, and I just remember watching that as a kid being like, that's me.
It's not very like sexual either.
No.
You know, if you're giving just like information about how humans are created, we're not afraid of our kids understanding sex. We're afraid of talking to our kids about sex. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because then you open the door to them having sex, even though that's not what's opening the door. But you think, like, if they just never know about it, they'll never do it.
Yeah. And I think it's, like, hard for people. Like, my parents are so great in so many ways, but they're not always great at talking about, like, feelings or things that are deemed as, like, personal. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's because they're, like, trying to shut me down in any way. It's just, like, that's – my parents are kind of, like, personally private people. So I think that's
something – which is a positive in a lot of ways, too. They give you a lot of privacy.
I had a lot of privacy growing up. I had a lot of, like, my dad would stand at my door and knock for 8 hours before coming in if I had not said come in. Like, I think there's that privacy was so great in so many ways, but I, like, never really got a sex talk. I had a lot of older friends, so I think my parents were probably just like, you guys are talking about it. Yeah. And I do just remember this one time at a TGI Fridays, my mom was like, how old should you be, do you think, when you have sex? And I was like, I don't know, college. And then I choked on a mozzarella stick, and it was so embarrassing also because my teacher's daughter was our server, and that whole experience, I don't know if you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you know anything about me, you'd be like, yeah, that makes sense that that's how you learned about sex. It feels very formative to who I am. Should we move to questions?
Yes. So each week we ask our perfect little audience what questions they have for the guest or for us, and we ask them what they would want to ask a person who designs sex toys. So we're gonna get to those now.
What's the most wild idea for a sex toy you have had or someone has suggested to you?
Okay, so we get emails all the time around.
Oh, no!
Like, for, you know, well, people have, like, want to pitch ideas, but also manufacturers will be like, oh, we created this product. So there's just some really wild stuff that's out there.
Sure.
And a lot of times they'll be like, the waste on this, like, silicone, like, torso is like only 20 inches. Male investors are always like, can you, like, they want to, like, gamify sex and get the feedback so they know if they're doing a good job. And at some time I'm like, you, like, could ask them.
What do you
mean
out there?
What do you mean gamify? Like,
like, what if there was, like, sensors in it and it hooked up to my app and it could tell me if I was doing a good job? Like, gamification is, like, the idea of creating something like Robin Hood gamified investing. Wow. So, like, when you invest, like, you know, you get those, like, confetti things that, like,
that shoot, like, on your screen.
Right. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's, like, already kind of gamified sex. Like, you already, something literally shoots out. You know, you don't need an app to
validate. Imagine having sex with a man and then him being like, one moment, and then pulling out his phone and being like, we did a great job.
Yeah. Or worse, he pulls it out and immediately his face drops and he's like, you're not having any
he's
fun.
He's hysterically crying. Wow.
Do you need to get a new sex toy for each partner you have?
No.
This is, I feel like, a controversial topic in the lesbian world.
Really?
I feel like people can be really, really strange about
this. They're expensive.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what am I, a billionaire? But to me, in my mind, I'm like, if you're cleaning it properly, you're taking good care of it, it's so wasteful to get a new one for every partner.
I don't get a new vagina every time.
Sure. I agree, as much as I've asked for you to do it. But yeah, I think there's stuff where people are like, it's disrespectful if you, like, conceptually, it's disrespectful if you use that on someone else and use it on me.
I disagree. I mean, I think that you should be cleaning it. There are so many things you could do too. Like, people put condoms on dildos.
Sure.
So there are other ways, I think, that you can create, like, safety. But also, if you're cleaning it well, it's fine. And I do think it's ultimately pretty wasteful.
Yeah.
The silicone products, in order to make them medical, they're not biodegradable.
Sure.
So I do think that I'm putting the environment first here.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I wanted to ask this because it leads into that.
I feel like I should be like, no, you need a new vibrator.
No, that's
every
actually
time.
Great.
It would be. I mean, think that's great for you.
I'm like,
well, I don't think you need a new one every time, but I think you should buy hundreds of thousands of them just to have.
Yes, agreed.
What is the best way, if someone wants to know, to clean a sex toy?
I'm pro soap and water. Great. You can use bleach. Like, some people will say you can do it, like, and if you're going to use bleach, it'd be like a 1-10 ratio.
Sure.
I would even do less. Like, bleach is really intense. I don't like using bleach. I prefer to but it's just gonna really, really clean it. Soap and water.
Sure.
I'm telling you, the world is moving away from soap and water. We got all these fancy products. I'm like, soap and water's great.
Kendall is saying this all the time. Kendall's always preaching the gospel of soap and water.
Well, it's great. There's also sprays. Like, Dame sells a vibe cleaner. So if you're feeling real lazy and you want something like in your
bedside
table. But I really, you know, soap and water
it is hard. Classic. There's a lot of tasks after sex, which is why you're like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. I gotta clean up this, and it's like a lot.
I do think a lot of my ideas are around like me just being lazy.
Sure.
And I'm like, how do I?
That's what the world needs.
Yes.
What would you say to your partner who feels invalidated by your desire to use sex toys?
Say, like, you should really work on what makes you feel valid. Yeah. I think that that's really interesting. I would be like, wow, that's really interesting that you feel that way. Do you no longer have a penis because I'm using a – like, what – like, I would want to explore that.
Yeah.
You know, like, if it's a partner you like, try and do it in a compassionate way.
Yeah.
And maybe if it's a new partner – I don't know. I it's still great to do it in a compassionate way.
Sure.
But I do think that if you're a secure person using a tool that helps your partner have more pleasure, shouldn't make you feel like a like less of a valid partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then what is all this about? Aren't we having sex so you want me to feel good?
Yes. Yes. I also think that cis straight men can forget that vibrators can also be used on them as well.
They do. You know,
anything like that can be used on them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of guys really like the sense of vibration, and I know a lot of, and it can bring them to climax.
Sure.
Yeah, and I also find more and more and more, especially men in long-term relationships, they love vibrators. You know why? Because they're also a little lazy sometimes.
Yeah. All tired. The way we all have to work in America these days.
Sometimes I feel like the questions I'm getting, I'm like, just imagine people are asking these questions like about a car.
Oh, okay.
Or like an electric toothbrush instead of like
a manual.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, it does a different job. You can still walk from point A to point B.
Yeah.
If you want.
Like, there's always these facts online that are like, having sex is like running a mile or something insane. And I'm like, yeah, I don't ever run a mile. So I don't, like, all the time want to be exerting so much energy. And I think it just sets you up for success. Like, I think you can always have things you want to be doing. Like, if you're like, I'm going to eat really healthy. But then, like, put some frozen meals in your fridge also that are healthy so that when you're tired, you don't have to, like, go to McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, well, and I think sex toys can be so groundbreaking for people that are differently abled or with disabilities. Mm-hmm. I think that can be like so
very
huge.
Yeah, actually, dildos were originally invented by somebody who, I think he was a quadriplegic, but he by somebody who's disabled.
Yeah, that's
so
incredible.
I do think like the we definitely look to that community too. I always feel like if we can make a great product for somebody that has mobility issues, then it's probably going to be a great product for everybody else too.
Everyone.
Absolutely, because I think people are so quick to dismiss something like that, to be like, well, I don't have mobility issues. First of all, we are all speaking from experience.
Pull out the boots.
Both? Oh my God.
Surgery on both, can you believe it? We are all one bout of plantar fasciitis away from having double foot surgery and having mobility issues. But I'm telling you, like, anything can happen to you at any moment. Physical, like, quote unquote, health and wellness changes so much throughout your entire life. And I think that the fact that we don't listen to people who are differently abled or with disabilities or mobility issues or whatever more to find things that are more accessible to all of us is idiotic. I think it's embarrassing.
It's wild. And I think even for people who are single, because I think sex and being single are so like considered one and the same. Like, well, I have to be with another person to have sex. For me, when I was single, I think sometimes I would be horny, but then be like, I need to find a relationship really bad. Like, I need to be in love really bad. And I would feel like this need to have a partner, but I really was just horny. And it was hard where it's like, even if you're single, or even if you, well, during COVID, or where you're like, oh, I can't be going in to bars and hooking up with people, whatever, or even if that's not your vibe, whatever, you still want to have like sexual moments in your life.
Most use
them.
Not all, right?
Not all.
100%. We're not pushing anything on anybody that doesn't want it. But in terms of people who feel like there's some kind of connection between having to have sexual fulfillment through relationships, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Yeah. Which is so nice.
There's so many ways of doing it. And a relationship also doesn't need to have sex, right?
No, like, 100%.
There's so many ways. And having more tools just gives us more options.
Totally.
I love that.
Can using sex toys make you a lazy lover? Someone asks.
I think anything. I mean, I think anything can probably make you a lazy. A lot yes. of things can make you a lazy lover.
There's a lot of lazy lovers who are not using sex toys.
Yeah, I would say at the end of the day, you're making yourself a lazy lover. Mm-hmm. So many tools that we use have really positive impacts on our lives and can also have a really negative impact on our lives.
Yeah.
And we just need to be intentional and thoughtful in how we're using them.
Yeah,
I don't think I think that our addiction to Instagram is way worse than most people's addiction to a vibrator.
Absolutely.
But nobody's asking that question as much. I mean, we are now, I think, a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting the questions that I think come up around vibrators that don't seem to come up around other things.
Yes.
Totally.
Absolutely. I mean, I, for example, am incredible at cooking, but sometimes I use a microwave.
Oh my God.
And it doesn't make me a lazy cook. It doesn't make me worse at cooking because sometimes I microwave a baked potato before I bake it in the oven to get a crispy skin. I don't want to bake a potato for 5.5 hours. Yeah, you know, sometimes it's like, you want a baked potato now and I have to service you as my wife.
When I want a baked potato, I get really intense.
So I have, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, we all got time. We all got places to be. We all, you know, sometimes it's like.
Well, and what's the alternative is a lot of people just don't, I mean, you hear people like, well, I haven't had sex in 20 years because I had kids and when do I have time? And it's like, well, because it's a whole fucking production
People are like, oh, if I start using a vibrator, am I going to have a harder time like having an orgasm with my partner?
I'm interested to know this.
I think so. Sometimes like the question gets phrased in a way I'm like, well, are you having orgasms with your partner right now? And they're like, not really. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
Well, then it doesn't matter.
Let's
like,
look
use
into
the
that.
Like, yeah. Like,
my product.
Right. Like, it's not. Go, like, how many, or like, do you want to have more orgasms? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, are the conversations with your partner work? Like, if that's, this is a route to you having more pleasure and you owning that.
Sure.
And then you wanted to know the question that I phrased, which was like, oh, will you have a harder time?
Oh, will it make it harder, like, biologically, physically, will it potentially make it harder for you to climax without a vibrator?
I think that if you start having any one specific way that you have an orgasm, that it can kind of going back to like the power of pleasure and sexual pleasure and creating like those really strong neural pathways. If you're always masturbating to the exact same porn, the exact same vibrator, all of a sudden you really kind of need that. You'll start to feel like you need that porn and that vibrator.
Sure.
So I think that, this is like habit forming.
Yeah.
In general, and it's not necessarily the vibrator. I think it's really important to have more than one vibrator, have like different sensations. I think it's a more complex question than that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that like masturbating like if you masturbate with your hands, you're going to get it good with it at your hands. And then if you have a partner's hands, like that's probably just going to be harder, but it's also harder because it's your partner's hands and they don't have the feedback loop.
Yeah. Well, and if you're using hands too much, you're going to get carpal tunnel. So sometimes you need additional help.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I feel like I've learned so much.
I really do. Thank you so much for coming on and doing an episode.
This has been such a treat.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there anything you want to talk about? Plug? What's going on with Dave?
I brought you guys a special little something.
Oh my God.
So here's a fresh new vibe.
Wow.
This is Calm. Because it's comfortable in your hand.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, that's why we named it Calm.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
It's a wand
it's
vibrator.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
It is gorgeous. Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, I love it. That
She's
is
kind of hot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, why am I sexually attracted?
She kind of looks like a mermaid.
Yes, she does look like a mermaid.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
No
so
much. Problem.
That's incredible. And anything else you want to plug or let people know about?
I think there's a question around like if you're buying a vibrator, look for you want to make sure it's quality silicone. I think you want to buy it from a brand too that is going to be able to like that vibrator, your very first vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it last? What happened?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 4 seconds. It was marbled blue and white. It was made of plastic, full plastic, like plastic that
just like plastic. A Game Boy,
like literal plastic. And I'm sure if I had accidentally gotten it wet, I would have electrocuted myself to death. So it was horrible.
So you just want to be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Wow, I love this. And like I said, this is like we invited you on because we actually have purchased your products before and think they're great. So we're really excited to have you on. And we genuinely think people should go I don't know, buy your stuff. I think it's fun. I think it's cool. I think it's in a really good price point. It's very like affordably and reasonably priced for something that is good quality and long lasting. And yeah. I think that's really exciting. So.
Yeah, we have a 3-year warranty too.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, right. We stand behind our quality.
I love that. All right. Well.
Yay. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. I learned so much. I'm so excited.
I know. It's time to let's hit the road.
If you are listening on Spotify, once again, we're always so honored to be recording in the Spotify offices. Make sure to rate and review and subscribe and comment down below. I don't know. What would be a good comment for this episode?
I mean, comment what Dame product you're going to buy or the first place you ever masturbated or if you've ever been to the Hustler store in South Florida.
And saw me there.
Yeah, leave any of those in the comments.
And we are on Instagram, TikTok, and we are also on Patreon if you want to join the party over there. And happy Monday.
All right. Love ya.
Love ya.